The Football Show on Off The Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
I'm prepared to do anything I can to play my country again.
Do it then.
What about your start to the game?
It wasn't bad, was it?
Why should an honest answer be a mistake?
How can a modern day manager not have a mobile phone?
Why should he?
Oh, lads.
Nathan and Kevin Caban back with us.
How are you?
How are you keeping? You missed, we played out a montage courtesy of Richie McCormack of the O'Neill era, and it's quite sad actually.
Was it highlights or lowlights?
A bit of everything. Yeah. I mean, you could do it. Put up your mic, will you, for the love
of God.
Come on.
Honestly,
what's wrong with you?
Can you hear me there?
Can't hear a thing you're saying.
No.
It's plugged in.
You're just fully concentrated on the beard these days, honestly.
Is it plugged in properly? And you're not on mute, are you?
I'm not on mute.
Can we get another microphone from Nathan, please?
Yeah, you talk to me, Joe. I think we've had enough for Nathan now, haven't we?
Have you sabotaged his mic after? He's out there fixing it. Well, the point was there was such excitement at the start. And they did really well at the start. And it was just, you know, it was maybe a timely reminder that we should say they had lots of good days too. There was great
days
excitement.
Following the side. I mean, I think he'd said it today himself, Martin Hill. Who can forget Lille? One of the greatest nights that I would have been following the side, and also even the night after, or the well into the following morning as well in Lille, it was just sensational. Who can forget, you know, of course Germany in that game at the Aviva,
and you forget Gelsenkirchen away from home.
Yeah, John O'Shea 100th cap,
and Vienna.
Yeah, Vienna, James Sweden. McLean. It was just.
Do you know what a lot of the goals had in common? Wes Hoolihan.
See it?
Yeah, they really did. And actually, there was a clip from Dunphy in the middle of the montage, and he said, minutes per goal with Wes Hoolihan, 46. Minutes per goal without Wes Hoolihan, 133. Mm. Now, I don't know at what stage of the tenure that was, but I mean, I would say it was a fairly consistent story right across. You can't underestimate how much Wes, the best player on the team, the most creative force in the team, the player who can do what so few players can do, which is knit the whole thing together. You actually can't overstate what losing him did to the general creative forces in the team. Massive loss, Wes.
Yeah, of course. That's the thing. Of course, I was just looking down actually earlier on. It's since the Euros, 23 matches, and seeing some of the wins that we've had during that. Even looking at the two games, we haven't scored more than one goal in too many games. Actually, that was the thing I was maybe looking at today. If you take Oman out of it, and you take that USA friendly out of it, we won 4-0 and 2-1 against USA, even Uruguay. The Moldova game, the one at home as well. Wes had such an influence on that game, even away. You know, Wes. It had a huge influence on the team, creativity-wise, didn't he? That was a thing.
Massive.
Wes didn't start in Lille, worth remembering. His impact was off the bench in Lille.
Sure.
That night.
But I mean, I think there was often a sense that he would be used, even if he was on the bench. I never agreed when he was on the bench, but I always at least felt, well, O'Neill will pick a moment when to use him. Mm.
In a way, because we've had so many unbelievable moments and highs.
Yeah.
I've probably been a little bit brainwashed by what to expect now of international football. Or maybe that's just what international football is. That it's just this tedious, monotonous run of boring friendlies that you just want to get through for these one-off nights that last with you forever, which they will. Like the night of the Robbie Brady goal is something we'll never forget, the same as Shane Long's. But actually, maybe there is another way. Maybe there is a good level of consistency where you can actually go along to the Aviva. And I can remember the last time, it's never happened at the Aviva, that you go along and say, you know what, I'm going to go and watch some entertaining football this evening. Mm-hmm. It seems as though we just sit through the shit for those couple of moments that there's no guarantee they're ever going to come. Mm-hmm. They're freakish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't argue with it, can you? It is. I think every game that we've watched over the last year, and Nathan and I, you and I, Joe, would have analysed every single one of the games and we would have come in and we would have been saying the same thing, certainly over the last 18 months, I would have been saying the same thing after every single game, wouldn't we? And we would have been saying, look, at home, it's a poor watch, you know, we might go away from home, and you expect it when you go away from home, you're going to get a grind a result out. But when we're at home and we're not having any creativity, I looked at them all the other night, actually, looking at all the chances that we would have created across the Nations League.
Yeah.
And we've created virtually nothing. No real clear-cut chances at all across the four games that we'd played. No real spark in the games. No excitement. And Brian's touched on that. I think you've touched on it, Nathan, as well. No excitement going to watch the side. And that's the thing where it kills you. It does kill you when you're actually an Irish supporter.
Mm. We'll talk to Niall Quinn in just a second. So the FAI has come under fire on the show this evening, certainly from Brian Kerr. It's another aspect of the story. It's very difficult to get a feel for where the figures are or to what extent things have been mismanaged or otherwise, because not overly transparent, which was Brian Kerr's point with their figures. Like, certainly it does seem like the stadium debt's going to be reduced. Dan McDonald made a point a while back where he said that somehow or other, the IRFU debt out of the stadium was far less than the FAI debt. Now, they priced their corporate tickets at about 1,500 quid a year, and the FAI were looking for 32 grand over 10 years, so well over double that a year, and obviously the recession hit and the thing just went to pot, really. That was obviously a big...
Well, that was one of the worst business decisions that's ever been made. When you look at the target market of the soccer team and the target market of the rugby team,
totally overpriced.
It made absolutely no sense. Like, the debt is, it's going to come back into focus again. And in many ways, what's the rush to pay it off? Why this
that's Kerr's point.
2020 figure that suddenly we need to get rid of this 30 million?
To what extent might it be that John Delaney has further ambitions within the game, within UEFA? And it's a very nice thing to be able to say, I secured the stadium and we were debt-free by 2020.
Absolutely. When, in 2 years' time, the head of every footballing organisation probably comes to Dublin for a weekend for one of these matches, to be able to say, this is our stadium, we built it, what, less than 10 years ago? We're completely debt-free. We don't owe a single penny on this. Now, every penny that's gone into it is coming out of something else. And that's, there's been quite a bit written about that, of we get these big sponsorship announcements, renewals, worth 7-8 million quid a year, or 7 or 8 million over the space of 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's feeding into the football family. But actually, the vast majority of that money is going to pay off the debt. It's not going into grassroots football. Mm. Maybe they think that if they pay it off by 2020, from then on, that suddenly you're free, you can actually go and invest.
But it's a wasted decade then, isn't it? And it's a wasted decade.
But that's what we're in the middle of.
Yes. No, precisely. We're seeing the fruits of it now. Like, Emma Malone in that piece I mentioned a while back talked about that underage National League, 15s, 17s, 19s and under 13s starting in March. So the cost of that league is 1.4 million. Now UEFA pays 825 grand of the 1.4 million. So in March of this year, Emmett wrote that the FAI made much of the fact that it was coming up with the other 250 grand. So Rude Doctor was asked about the fact that there's no under 14s, under 16s, under 18s, that some players will have to go to a different team each season right through their teenage years. Different manager, different friends, different location. No teenager wants to do that. It's just not best practice.
Encouraging dropouts,
to say the least. Oh, absolutely. Or just like no involvement whatsoever in the National League. So it completely undermines the National League. And Emmett estimated
that... But that's the case across all the leagues, though, isn't it? Like, when you go into professional football at 16, you're playing under 18 level. Then you're going into men's football at reserve team level.
Yeah, but if you're starting to get the best players in the country
13.
In a national league at under 13,
yeah,
you don't want them when they go up to under 14 to have to go back to their club.
I'll take that, but when you get to 15 and 17...
But hang on, back to 15s, and then at 16 they have to go back to their club again. And then back at 17 to the national league.
Yeah.
And also, we're not talking about the prodigies here. We're talking about the really, really good players who may... with the right training and the right
coaching,
might
get to the next level,
might develop that little bit later. Now, so from financial terms, to get the 14s, 16s and 18s, look, Rude Doctor has admitted this isn't ideal.
No, I know what you're saying. No, I'm not denying it. I'm looking about if we're saying about real elite football, then real elite football, once you get into 15, 16, you're actually having to play under 19s football. If we're getting a player who's 16 and he is the cream, the real top player that we've got over here, he's playing under 19 football.
No, I get that, but this actually isn't about the cream, because most of the cream will go to the UK. And we're still reliant on the UK to develop Irish players. Yeah. They'll go over to Man City. Yeah. We're talking about the players who are just below but could develop. So anyway, in short, to fund the other leagues, you're talking about €2.5 million, those national leagues. That's half of what they've been paying in stadium debts, repayments and interest, right, Emmett? So there's been a clear priority there to get the stadium debt-free, and Brian Kerr makes the point tonight. Well, why do that? Like, should we not be talking about this decision and actually prioritising things? Why not go, low interest rates? Why not send this out over the next 5, 10 years?
We've been saying this for a while. The priority is for us to produce players over the next 10 years, 15 years, whatever it's going to be, even going back 10 years or so, it has to be the priority, because we know full well that the level of our players going over to England, that the standard that they're all playing at has been dropping off season after season. Yeah. We're getting less and less with top half, top six Premier League sides, of course, but certainly top half. Now we're getting less and less actually playing in the Premier League to any extent. So we know it's, that is a difficulty that we've got, yeah.
Shay Given's watching in Periscope.
Is he?
He says, killer, pundit, DJ, manager, question mark.
I see well, Shay's a coach. Corporate
any game, chance of, any chance of Shay? Yeah, I saw that as well.
Dublin bus ambassador, did you see this?
He's trying to throw his hand to comedy as well.
He's got a few gifts.
Yeah,
Let's go to...
Can we get Shay Given involved? Can we get Shay Given involved at senior international level as well?
Well, we've got
give
Niall,
something back to his country.
We've got Niall Quinn on the line. Evening, Niall.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Yeah, good. So thanks for taking the call. I know you're busy where you are and you've stepped out to take the call. Your reaction to the news, if you were in a decision of power, which you often have been in the past as a chairman, did you feel, looking in from the outside as I accept you are, did you feel that Martin and Roy's time had come to the end and the right decision has been made?
No, I didn't feel it was going to happen. I thought they would just dust themselves down after a disastrous Nations League period and maybe go away for a few months and come back with some kind of different plan. But obviously... John Delaney has decided to go now. The discontent was there for everybody to see building over the last period of time. John has made that decision, and it surprised me, I have to say. I thought there was a lot of reasons why it wouldn't happen, and particularly perhaps the fees that the guys earned for their roles. But it's happened now, so it's always at this time, a few hours later, you kind of go, you know, the king is dead, long live the next king. So, you know, if we can pour as much... cold water over the coals of their time together, Martin and Roy. But ultimately, there was some good times. But I just feel the hope for the future and where it was all going was the big thing, the big balloon, the lead balloon that they ended up sinking on. And I, for one, over the last few matches in particular, just couldn't believe that I was seeing an Irish team that had no presence in the second half, in the furthest half of the field, or indeed the final third. It's a tactical thing I'm talking about here, but I just couldn't believe that our game didn't have some sort of plan that gave us a 10-foot goal. And when you see that, I think it was the final curtain, you know?
Yeah. Who would you like to see take the job now, Noel?
Well, I know a number of people who are interested, I would have thought. So, not that I spoke to anybody, I see people who are in the running, so I kind of know most of them. So I wouldn't like to lose a lot of friends here. But at the same time, what I'd like to see is a joined-up approach to the entire Irish elite football setup in the appointment. So in other words, that if somebody comes in, that he's there to help the under-17 team, the under-18 team, the under-19 team, the under-21 team, that we all play a type of football, and that leads to a way of playing with the senior team that becomes comfortable and easy for, as a transition for the type of players that got thrown in over the last 12 months, you know, who just didn't know how Martin and Roy played, all looked a little bit lost to them. A little bit disjointed. I'd love somebody to come in that could carry that mantle of being a coach of football in Ireland, not just the senior team. And you know, quite interesting. I think that all points towards Stephen Kenny. I think he could do something like that. He could link everything up. There's a lot wrong in the, I suppose, if you look at the structure and our elite talent and how we emerge and how our players end up being footballers, you know, we could do an awful lot better. And I don't think we can just entirely blame the FAI. I think, you know, as we look at other sports, rugby, they bring in a system in the provinces, the academies they produce, and the young players getting the finest training in the world to come out then and try and push for places in top teams. We don't do that. We kind of see a good young player, he gets spotted by a scout, he goes off Old England very early, he comes back. And somewhere in the middle, our clubs, our League of Ireland clubs, are just—they're there. They're a value to when the player comes back, but they don't benefit or gain, or the league doesn't benefit or gain in this country from any good footballers. And that's a system that is doomed to get worse and worse. And until somebody comes in that can A, join up the players in how they think and how they play and how they perform through academies, have those academies attached to clubs so that clubs own the players, and the English clubs don't get them too cheaply. You have a better type of player, a more educated type of player, and you have value, and the clubs would receive the benefit from that, and the league could all kick on again. Now, I know it's very difficult with the Premier League just on your doorstep and everything that goes with it, but there's a lot wrong here, and Martin and Roy is a part of the act that gets all the headlines, but we need a far better in-depth look at our structures.
Brian Kerr was in the show earlier. He says he does not have faith in John Delaney. He says he does not have faith in the FAI board. He says they have mismanaged football in this country over a number of years. John Delaney's been in the position he's in since 2005. He said there's no centre of excellence. He said there's no joined-up thinking. He talked about some of the points you've made. Too much money goes into the stadium. There's this obsession with becoming debt-free for 2020 when that could be kicked down the can very, very easily and relatively inexpensively, and money could be poured into the game. Things like, you know, the underage National League falls short because every second year players may have to go back to their clubs. You know, the emerging talent program, all these things. In Kerr's opinion, it's been tokenistic and it's been poor. And as I said, he does not have faith in John Delaney or the FAI. What you're saying really amounts to something similar. I'm not putting words in your mouth and I'm letting you in here. But why are we talking?
Sure.
Why are we talking about some of these, what would strike me as basics? Basics, 13 years after our CEO got the job.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you know, I worked in administration at a top level in the Premier League, and it's not as simple as people think.
Sure.
To, in his case, an organization. To get his power there, he's politically been very strong. He has people supporting him in all ends, and he has an agenda to do things in Europe as well. And I get all that. I see it. But I think the one thing I would say, you know, and I would say this in front of John, you know, there's no FAI great love for the League of Ireland, and that's the problem. I think he called it the problem.
Yes, child, he used the word problem. Yeah, the problem child.
That has to be your favourite child. That has to be the child you spoil rotten, and that's not happened. And I do think it's difficult for the FAI to do that. You've spoken about the finances, so how can they do it? And I said it recently. I was at the PFAI dinner and I spoke about, you know, we've had tax breaks for investment in failing, I suppose, sports and film industries and hotel industries over the last 10 or 15 years. But, you know, soccer in our country is the most participated sport. We have 470,000 people lining up at weekends. We have referees. It's an incredible amount when you consider the size of the country. But yet our government consistently ignores the challenge that is there for football to have a bigger place and a boost over what's happened to it in the last 20 years since all the players played with the top English club. They don't anymore. Our football has fallen down, but we still love the game and the island. Our government should look at bringing tax breaks because they bought into the film industry. Okay, I don't see 470,000 people out making films every weekend. I think a very small amount of people benefited from that great tax break that they got. Horse racing, you know, it was on its knees in the 80s, and the tax breaks came along, and it was, you know, unbelievable to see where the bloodstock industry is right now. The hotel industry, my God, look how many hotels we have built because of the tax breaks that were given to people building hotels. It's booming. Why can't they look at the League of Ireland and look at people who might invest from overseas, from funds, who would invest in each and every club, the amount of money needed to build their own academies, so the FAI don't have to be building them. The FAI just oversee them and mind them and guard it and give clubs in Ireland a break that they haven't got since the Premier League started being popular. And I think it's not, you know, pie-in-the-sky stuff. I think there is so much benefit to be got. I know for a fact two groups of people would come in and buy a League of Ireland club and invest money in those systems if they were enticed to do it and there was a break. Very quickly, we would have virtually every club, I believe, you know, with an investment package that does all those things that Brian Kerr said. So can John Delaney do that? No. But I think our government can.
Although 3 years ago you talked about a revamp of the league very publicly, and you talked about emerging countries around the world and their TV companies desperate for content, and talked about how cricket in the Caribbean was dead, and people went in and they revamped it, and it seemed like, God, this is very exciting, and we don't hear this kind of talk about the league. Like, did anyone contact you?
Yeah.
Did John Delaney bring you in for a meeting? Did anything happen?
No, that didn't happen. And
but so you can see, like, that's why.
And I'm kind of,
yeah.
Yeah. So it fell away. It's, you know, I suppose the opportunity is there. If we had a marketing team that were, you know, I suppose internationally taking the product out around the world to sell, you know, that would be one thing. But there are so many problems nearer to home for the League of Ireland clubs. You know, it's very, very difficult to get the clubs themselves and the owners to think of that when literally day to day, most of them are just trying to survive. So it's a big leap. It was fine talk from me to say we should do this. It's there. If the willpower was there. I mean, the ownership of the league, of course, is another situation, and that's moving again. I believe, to a kind of a 50-50 approach between the clubs and the FAI themselves. Yeah. I think it's probably a step in the right direction. But can you imagine if we had the League of Ireland and had their own offices in Dublin with officers like the rugby people do, going around promoting the game internationally, literally, you know, the league doing what the Premier League does, what all the big leagues do, their own independent voice, their own independent growth targets, their own investment, you know, which I believe it you know could come from government. They could open up that channel, and then you would have a group looking after all of the clubs, not the FAI, a group that can do what other countries do and promote their leagues, you know, to the best of their ability. And if we bring tax breaks in on top of that, that would be, to me, a very viable route and something that we could all look forward to and forget about, you know, the John Delaney's issues and Martin and Roy's. We would have a system here that all our young players could be proud of.
In a way, it all sounds very straightforward and simple and makes perfect sense, Niall. Why then do you think the FAI aren't implementing any of this? What is the roadblock within the FAI?
Well, the FAI have a lot of things on their mind, and as you rightly say, the repayment of the stadium, the general emergence of the game around the country in the last sort of 15, 20 years, more clubs out in rural areas. But there's been a decent return in fairness to them. But I think, why has it not happened? I don't think anyone in government has been approached properly to make it happen. You know, I saw a presidential election there recently. A great football man, you know, won by a landslide. I would love his ticket to have been that he was going to bring to government a proposition that would make soccer stand up on its own two feet in this country, and we could introduce tax breaks, like I said, like the hotels, etc. But until somebody gets around and a group is called, a steering group or whatever, to look into that, then it's not going to happen. I would love to be part of a group. And I know, you know, Andy Townsend rings me occasionally and says the same thing. You know, we've got to try and do something. We'd be very happy to do it. But again, just to go back to you there, to sit in and kind of try and work your way up through the committee and the blazer feel that the FAI has, because they're cast in stone and how they're structured, that doesn't appeal. I think this needs to be a kind of an outer force almost that shows and points the good that can be achieved and maybe get the FAI to back it as opposed to the FAI to run it.
But, you know, interestingly, the Genesis report, which is not yesterday or the day before, we're going back to 2002, that recommended the addition of two non-executive directors to be on the board and bring another perspective. That proposal was never adopted. For instance, it's a small thing, but you could have been one of those directors with that perspective. And that was never done. And here we are 16 years later. Like, I'm a little bit confused. Do you think a good job is being done over the last 10, 15 years by the FAI, or not a good job? Like, have we been well served?
Well, okay, over that period of time, they did, I suppose, what they could do with a man that has sort of different ambitions to what I would have for the association. I would have made the League of Ireland a priority, not the Irish senior team, if I was ever in that position. Mm. So I can't really criticise him for doing things the way he does. And I think it's very, very difficult. I can remember a time when I was on the Irish Sports Council and really, you know, the FAI and Irish football were being really underfunded by the Sports Council, etc. And I felt them, because you have not the smugness, but certainly the reach of the GAA world in the political areas, you know, is immense.
Yeah.
It's always going to be strong, and they don't have a Premier League of hurling and Gaelic football across the water, drowning everything they do. So, in that sense, it's been really difficult. Rugby has gone where it's gone, but just look at those superb infrastructure of young academy players and their education as well. Let's not forget about that. All these things are not on the FAI agenda. The FAI are a bit like the League of Ireland clubs in some respects, keeping the job right, hoping that the senior team do well. We'll get some tournaments here. We'll keep our thing going well. And I have to say, you know, like, let's break it all down here and not just, you know, be taking people's character for the sake of it.
Yeah.
There are certain things that have gone well, but there's a bigger picture here. And if we want to make changes, we've got to be dynamic. And is there a way of being dynamic in that board setup that you spoke about and getting up through that system? No, I think it has to come from third party, and I think the league should stand up on its own two feet like every good league in the world has. You have the FA in England, you have the Football League, you have the Premier League. Over here, we've got the FAI and a league that really needs to you know, take an example of other sports and other leagues and be given the power and be released into a platform with government assistance on tax breaks that they could put really good people in charge, put a group together that are there for the League of Ireland. All our players would come through that system, and would, if nothing else, they would go to England as educated people with stronger character, with better football coaching. All think of all those coaches that are getting all their badges now here in Ireland. They're getting A licenses and pro licenses. What are we doing it for? To send them off abroad? Or are we going to do it to train, you know, kids in rural parishes? I think they should all be working in academies. I think our League of Ireland clubs, it should not be a dream that our League of Ireland clubs one day might have an academy. It should be this association and the government's absolute pride of place that a plan has put in place to make everything right. Because it's only going to get worse and worse, lads, and we're going to be confused because of Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane's impact. We need better structures.
Niall, just in relation to the job itself, and now you've overseen managers leaving and being appointed at clubs then now, when you were obviously at Sunderland as part of the board. What would the priority be for you then now if you were on the board of the FAI, given the fact is that it seems, outsider looking in, they've let them go with the sole purpose of having a quick impact ahead of 2020. Would that be the case with you, or would it be a longer term plan that you could almost say, well, look, if we qualify, we qualify, if we don't, we don't? What would you be thinking be now?
Well, the first thing, I kind of half answered that a while ago, Kevin, and what I'd be saying there is that we bring somebody in who's, you know, head of coaching, not the head coach. So head of coaching would be that the type of football that you want implemented, the systems, the way our players play, that we have a defined system throughout the international structure and setup. So rather than have Ruud Doctor and people doing things at under 15 level, under 16 level, it changes at under 18, and then by the time you get to 21 senior team, it's all different, and, you know, that whole connection is lost. I'd be looking for somebody who could hold all that together, be as proud of what's happening at under 19 level as they are of their senior job, and that we all look in from afar or from close to say, yeah, there's something positive happening here where our players are never going to be betwixt and between. It's like, as you know, we've watched it for the last year. Yes, they put good, strong defensive performances, but, you know, in terms of attacking, the very basics of the game and what, you know, what makes us thrilled and what gets us jumping out of our seat, we haven't been able to do that for so long. So I think the other thing I would look for is someone who bring excitement, who play a style of football that would excite us. And I suppose, you know, I haven't said this yet, but also can discover some centre forward to stick the ball in the back of the net. Because
I'm just saying that in relation to the job now, simply with it being 2020, with the games in Dublin, would it be a quick fix, or would you try and implement that long-term plan? That's maybe what I'm just trying to get at there, because
position. I'd implement a long-term plan for the better good, and I would be urging government to take the future growth and the structures of this country, the football that is, you know, has been held together just about, more so by the will of great, courageous people who love the game, that we bring a professional, dynamic approach in. And I would be saying, I can get a manager who can play along to that at all levels. Let's build something here for the future. You know, what would the rugby lads do? Would they go for a quick fix? Absolutely not. They'd go for something that worked and that joined in with all the stuff that needed joining up from the academies up, and the support that I get. I think the support that the FAI would get at that point, you know, John Delaney wouldn't get the blame as the senior team.
Would he not?
Lost a couple of matches.
That was just the one thing I was wondering. Like, what you're talking about doesn't sound like it's a senior manager's job, because you're going to be sitting in a TV studio, Kevin's going to be sitting in a TV studio. If whoever the next manager is, if it's Stephen Kenny and we're doing brilliantly well at underage level and he's cultivating talent from the League of Ireland, but we don't qualify.
Yeah, but we're doing well now at underage. We're doing well now at underage, aren't we? That's the thing. The teams are actually performing reasonably well at certainly 19 level as it is.
And it's irrelevant to what the senior manager does. If we don't qualify, the senior manager is always going to get hammered.
It's irrelevant.
At the moment, but even no matter who it is, if we don't qualify, Niall, the senior manager is going to get hammered, regardless of what he does at other levels.
I believe we can be courageous in not qualifying. And one of the biggest drops in our admiration for Martin and Roy was the way we capitulated in the game against Denmark. And that was the start of something very, very deep that ate into this football team and prevented them from going forward. It was a huge scar to get over. I would love if some manager came in that created lots and lots of chances and was a little less cautious and more ambitious, attacked more often, gave ourselves something to shout about. I think it goes back to the only one I can compare to the Kevin Keegan era, where he won nothing but, you know, lost games 4-3, 3-2. We enjoyed it. We enjoyed watching him. We saw his value. I think where we are right now, the perfect person for this job is somebody who can bring excitement to the team and can understand and allow for the structures to flow from top to bottom from the international structure. If that's only me, you know, John Delaney might have a totally different view on life. He might be going for a quick fix to get us to somebody who might get us to the promised land in 2 years' time. I don't know, but I just look at day-to-day life in Ireland and what football is doing. Great people here, terrible structures. I think that's the most important thing, not a quick fix for a 2020 final.
Yeah, I'm sure lots of people will agree. Listen, I know you stepped out of something to take the call, so much appreciated. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys. Bye.
There's Niall Quinn there. Take a short break.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Niall Quinn talking great sense. Prioritise our National League. It's the only way forward, says Johnny. Niall Quinn talks so much sense. FAI too focused on the international team. I'm chairman of a small football club for boys and girls, and we struggle to buy footballs. No democracy and change from the top to bottom needed is text in. It's funny, you were just wondering there during the ad break, when did Ireland play good football under O'Neill and Keane?
No, I just thinking that we've had some good spells. I wasn't at the Sweden game, but I certainly watched it from studio, and I thought we played well. I thought we played well against Italy. I thought we had decent spells in the first half against France, certainly the Bosnia playoff games as well. So there were certain games, there were certain highs. You know, we think of the Germany high, the goal from Shane Long. That wasn't a great night of football, but it was an unbelievable night and an experience to be in the Aviva that evening. I don't know. I just think maybe something touched on something that Niall said, that we're not coming away from games at all under any way, shape, or form now, and having a buzz and talking about this, even if we've lost a game.
It's gone now. But good against Sweden at the Euros.
Yeah.
Good against Italy at the Euros. I thought good against France. You know, the first goal was very good. Good football.
Yeah. Certainly.
That
was.
Seemed like a real purple patch for sure. Well, O'Neill himself would often argue. You can comment on this, like. There is a drudgery about going to Eastern Europe in October, and the pitch is crap and it's cold and it's freezing and it's awful. Yeah. Whereas you do obviously play better football on pristine pitches at a tournament.
Yeah.
You know, he did an interview with Jerry.
A pristine pitch 3 miles down the road.
It's very big though. No, look, that's a fair point about the pristine pitch down the road. The home form is hard to excuse for sure. Mm-hmm. But he did do an interview with Jerry where he did kind of say, look, we just got to get to tournaments and then we can really play better football. I think there is something in that. Like, we only watch our own rubbish international games a lot of the time outside of international tournaments. Like, most of them that you watch are fairly average.
No. If anything, I think the Nations League.
That's in line. I think. How good
is it? Suddenly watching everything.
We have seen some
games.
No, I don't agree with that. I think this has raised the levels. The Nations League has definitely raised the levels. Not necessarily in our case, but the standard of football that we've seen across the Nations League has been sensational.
Okay.
It has.
That shoots that point down.
It has. But it wasn't like that before, though.
Say what we're talking about at the end there, and Niall Quinn wants this sort of overarching figure coming in as senior manager with a long-term plan. How does that work out over the next 3-4 years if we don't qualify for Euro 2020?
Idiots like us will be on the radio going ballistic.
That's what I mean. What are the other performance indicators that we're looking at from a manager? How do we judge... If it is Stephen Kenny, how do we judge his work?
The type of football. Can I throw that out? The type of football.
Yeah, it is the type of football. Yeah, the brand. How are we going about? But is that not what Rude Doctor does anyway? Now, is Rude Doctor not overseeing the full structures, top to bottom, trying to implement a style that's?
But there's no end point.
If it doesn't funnel through to the senior team, there's no end point.
Well, it's supposed to, though, isn't it? That's essentially what it's there for.
Well, in theory.
In theory it is, but that's...
But that's why it has to come from the senior manager, because it's all very well Rude Doctor saying, we're going to play 4-3-3 at every level, and Martin O'Neill coming in going, well, actually, I don't know from game to game what I'm going to play.
Yeah. Well, that's what Michael O'Neill has tried to implement across the board over up in Northern Ireland, hasn't he? That's what he's tried to do. Tried to get a style that's top to bottom, trying to implement the same sort of style. So some of the players might not necessarily be good enough, but they're certainly in a way where they know exactly what Michael O'Neill's doing at the top. They know exactly what the 21s are doing. They know exactly what the 19s are doing. And throughout that structure, they're doing the similar sort of things.
It's very interesting, isn't it? And another point which has struck me today, it's happened with Trapattoni, and now it's very much happened with O'Neill and Keane, that when you reach the end, and it's hard to know sometimes when that end is, the fall-off is quite dramatic.
Yeah, it is.
Like, there is a shelf life, it seems. There is a real shelf life with international management.
Well, I wonder, was John Delaney stung by what happened with Trapattoni, where he let it go a year too long? and that entire campaign for 2014 was ruined.
Yeah.
That actually this time he's looked at what happened in Denmark. He's looked at these four games and realised if we let this go for another 6 months, the entire Euro 2020 could be gone. Mm. Whereas make the change now, there is going to be, as you say, no matter who it is, whether it's Mick McCarthy, Stephen Kenny or anybody else, it'll be a sellout for the first game.
Yeah.
There'll be a buzz around the place. Yeah. There'll be an excitement. So they'll say all the right things.
Would you kind of think that this has been a very expensive mistake, let's not forget. Like we're talking the guts of 3-4 million, whatever way you look at it. Well, you have to pay a new manager. But would you say, because he's had a tough grilling tonight across the few hours, would you say Delaney should be commended for nipping this in the bud?
Well, my point being was that I was going to make before that, maybe trying to get it round to Niall, is the quick fix is getting to the Euros that you are saying. Well, I'll tell you what, essentially you're saying you're going to get 10 to 15 million, whatever it will be.
Yeah, no, that's about it.
And a third of that money essentially is for a payoff.
Yeah.
So you're taking a huge risk, a huge gamble anyway, by letting them go with potential that we may not go to the Euros anyway. And then you've got that big payoff and with no funds coming back in off the back end to actually recover that.
Yeah. Oh, if they don't make Euro 2020 financially, this has been an absolute kick in the teeth for everyone.
It's a bad one. I mean, Nathan's good on and how it's going to work across this next year or so as well. But
no, you're really good on League of Nations stuff.
Yeah. Get into it, Kev. Yeah. Who do you think we're going to get in the playoff then?
It's League of Nations done now, Joe. That's done.
No, the best bit's still to come.
What, the summer?
Can we play out with Kev's League of Nations montage, actually?
Ah,
yes. No, we are.
Well, no, I've got it now. I got it.
And ironically,
you dropped it on me on one time.
No, we're doing it.
I guarantee.
No.
I'll rap now if I have to get that montage.
Listen, Joe.
JP, I'll rap now if I have to.
It's gone, that JP. It's gone.
Pete, have you got the montage? I'm thrown to it now.
All that's changed today is actually Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane are the only people who've made more money out of the Nations League than you have, Kev.
Ah, what a tool.
Can we get the montage?
No,
please?
But what I'm saying is, though, now essentially what we're looking forward now to the qualification campaign, and we're going to have a tough group regardless of anything, but because of the football that we've been playing anyway. So the manager that comes in just has to instill belief that when we go to a Georgia, when we go to Armenia, that we are better than that side and we will go over there and we will outplay them. That's essentially what it is, because that's what it's going to take 6 points off those sides, give yourself a fighting chance against a Germany, against an Italy, against England, Belgium, whoever it's going to be we get from that top seeds, that we can actually go and seriously compete against those sides at home more than anything else.
But we're sitting here and the decision hasn't been made, but already implying that maybe the easier decision to make and the sensible decision to make is to go for the quick fix, to get somebody in who can get us to Euro 2020. Yeah. You can't have it both ways. You can't say Mick McCarthy's going to get the instant impact, but really we need to be thinking long term as well.
But I think what you're saying to me, you're getting it all wrong from what I'm saying before to you about this as well. All the thing I was saying is the respect would immediately be commanded more from Mick McCarthy walking in, or Sam Allardyce, or whoever it would be,
we've been through this a lot.
Yeah, no, but that's all I was saying. I'm not necessarily saying it's going to be even for a short term. You've got a manager coming in.
Can I ask you then now?
Right, who would you have then? Who would you have? Would you appoint a manager and two, three coaches that's going to go in him? Who would you have? What would you do now in the position that the FEI are in? Would you say, I'll tell you what, we've got a figurehead as Mick McCarthy who's going to be manager, and we're going to have Robbie Keane, we're going to have, if Mick McCarthy was to be manager, I would say it's probably going to be Terry Connor who would want to bring in as his coach who's been with him for a long time. Would you have a Lee Carsley going in with him as well? What would you do now? This is the decision that's going to be. Is it going to be Stephen Kenny? What Brian Kerr did brilliantly, yes, he brought Noel O'Reilly, was his trusted assistant. He got Chris Shuten instantly recognisable to say, well, I'll tell you what, he's going to be our coach.
Can I just make one point?
Yeah. I've got everything in front of me, so I think I have it. It took me a while to get there.
Okay.
A few of the lads in there earlier on, but I think I've got it, yeah. The league split up into four different leagues. League A, B, C and D. If you win a group, you automatically get into a playoff for Euro 2020 by winning a group.
What?
Yeah. So if you win your group, so if we had, say, Wales and Northern Ireland, we then, I think it comes down to, so if we win League B,
yeah.
And now, if you win all the games, potentially, that gives you the chance, you've topped that group. That's how it would work. Which is right. Which is exactly right.
We haven't got to the best bit yet. Can we forward on to the bit where he really messes
now,
up?
Which is right, yeah. So are you denying that, yeah?
I just want to go to the bit where he really messes up. In short, I don't know.
I was still winging it there, of course, Joe. Yeah.
No kidding, were you?
Yeah.
Who would I appoint? I don't know. I have to really think about it.
Do you know what?
Stephen Kenny is the no lose appointment from the
FAI. I do agree with you.
It's a lose if they don't qualify.
But it's a lose no matter who you appoint if they don't qualify. But from reinvigorating Irish supporters, giving people who go to League of Ireland games, giving the actual grassroots something to get behind, a proper connection with this team.
I think Mick,
Stephen
though,
Kenny,
I think like former Republic of Ireland captain Mick, and a new and a fresh start. I know, I'm just saying, in terms if energising the public is your big argument, I think whoever comes in is going to energise the public. Their first game is going to be a European qualifier. Like, the build up will be insane. There'll be, you know, lots of, there'll be a sit down interview, a few nice interviews talking about how much they're thrilled to have the job, yada yada yada. Like, in terms of quote unquote energising the public, whether it's Stephen Kenny or
Mick, Mick doesn't energise the public.
The public will be.
Does he not?
Sam Allardyce might energise the public. A new voice may energise the public. I just cannot see.
I don't know. I guarantee if Mick was in, there'd be huge excitement again.
I still think that there would be. Of course, there would be an element of negativity around the appointment. Of course there would be. Maybe Nathan's maybe touching on that there. There is still a split regarding what happened in O2. Of course there is. But
I don't think you think it's about O2.
No. As Paul Howard said, every passing year, Mick gets 5% more right and Roy gets 5% more wrong when it comes to what happens.
To be fair, I don't think your argument is the same thing. You're saying it's more of an Ipswich-Wolves thing.
I think it's, we've moved on. Yeah. Football has moved on. Why go back to something that was 14, 15 years ago? There was a reason that Brian Kerr took over. It was that it had fallen flat after the World Cup.
I have to take a very short break. Final thoughts from the lads in just a second.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.